At midnight last night, the 12 days of Christmas ended. The season we celebrate as Christmas is over. And traditionally, that is the time during which the taking down and the burning of the Christmas greens occurs. This year, we're a little late. It is said that this long-standing tradition, which is slowly fading into the past, symbolized Christ as the light of the world. In truth, it could just have been a safety measure to remove dried, flammable greens from the house. It was usually a communal event when people would bring their dried greens to a central location in a town or at the church for a huge bonfire, lighting up and warming the dark, cold winter's night. The event ushered in the Epiphany and the Epiphany season. Epiphany is the celebration of the manifestation of Jesus as the Son of God to all of the world. This is because it is the time we recognize Matthew's account of the story of the wise men from the east. God did not only proclaim the birth of Jesus to the Jews by way of the angel to the local shepherds, but to the non-Jew by the way of the star and the wise men or magi from a foreign land who were not Jews. Of course, the wise men were not Jews but Gentiles, whom God had chosen to receive the good news also. Epiphany traditions abound and vary from country to country and according to the various Christian denominations. For instance, many of the Spanish-speaking countries call this day of Epiphany Día de los Reyes, the Day of the Kings. For them, it is a time that the kings come during the night to leave gifts for the children. The celebration is very extensive within most of their traditions. Special mass, feasts, and parades seem to be most common, while other traditions among other nations center around house blessings and traditions such as special foods and especially the Epiphany cake. This tradition we will celebrate during the coffee hour today. And thanks to Angela for introducing us to the celebration at our coffee hour some years ago. And she continues now. This tradition will continue here. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, Epiphany is the day to celebrate Jesus' baptism, and it's a time for many to be baptized. Although we do not know when the wise men actually came to see the baby, just as we do not know the actual date of Jesus' birth, by tradition, we celebrate that visit on the 6th of January. We do know that the journey was not a short one in terms of the means of travel during that day. We also know that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus by that time had found lodging in a house and no longer quartered in a stable. Matthew writes, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. On entering the house. But when, who were these wise men? Who were these magi? What about this star? And why did the star bring them to the conclusion which left them on such a journey? First, the wise men or magi were most likely of the Median tribe in Persia. They would have been the men of holiness and wisdom. This would mean that they were highly educated in philosophy, medicine, and natural science. They were also considered to be soothsayers and interpreters of dreams. Therefore, they would naturally be astrologers, for astrology, the study of the stars, was the constant order in life by which all the future could be foretold. These magi knew the heavenly order of the night skies and could determine quickly when something was not commonplace. Therefore, when they observed an unusually bright star, which they had never seen before, it would have been natural to see this as a sign that God had interrupted the natural order of the heavens. It was a sign that God was announcing something by this unnatural occurrence. But how did they know what this was being announced and what was being announced and then to respond as they did? It was no coincidence, for during that time among the people of the ancient world, there was the great anticipation of the birth of a king. This king, for many, was to come out of the land of Judea and would be a savior to unite the world. This was not only the prevalent thinking among the Jews, but from different kingdoms and nations, according to the historians at the time. These histories recorded the anticipation of such a king. Therefore, it was perfectly logical for the Magi to see the need to travel to Jerusalem and Judea to search for this newborn king. They were being led to all this by what they saw in the revelation of that bright star in the sky. This revelation was their epiphany. They had to experience seeing this new king and pay homage to him, as was the custom at the birth of royalty. So off they went. How many of them? Who knows? We're not certain. It is only a surmise that there were three, since there were three gifts mentioned. But there could have been more. Could have been less. Be that as it may, they are next seen in Jerusalem, the central city in Judea. They were asking people there, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and had come to pay him homage. Here we have a very unique and strange occurrence. Outside of a few shepherds, God had not made a general public announcement of Jesus' birth. This question by these priestly strangers from a foreign land, Gentiles no less, would have been the non-Jews that would have heard that the prophecy of old had come true. So word must have traveled throughout the streets, for King Herod quickly became aware of these foreigners' questions. Herod, being very worried about a new king, which would threaten him, called all the religious authorities together to ask them where such a king of the Jews would be born. And they told him in the town of Bethlehem, as foretold by the prophet Micah. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Knowing this, Herod secretly sent for the foreign Magi. Secretly? Secretly, perhaps because he didn't want to give any kind of credence to even a rumor of the birth of a new king who would oust him from power. He told them that it was in the town of Bethlehem that such an event would occur. He then tried to use these magi to find the child by asking them to return with the news of where Herod could find him. Of course, this was an excuse. The excuse of he was going to pay homage, but in truth, so that he could kill the baby, which he saw as a threat. The Magi went to Bethlehem, at which time it is recorded that the star reappeared to direct them to the very place of Jesus. There they laid before him, before the baby, their gifts of homage, gold, the medal of purity and royalty, frankincense, the gift of fragrance of priestly sacrifice, and myrrh, the gift for one who is to die. These gifts were symbolic of the life of the Messiah, for Jesus was to be the one to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, which extended citizenship to all into its royalty. He was the one to live the message of the nature of God's love, which would sacrifice in order to for mankind to understand the depth of this love. And he was the one to suffer the death of the cross and experience the resurrection, so that we may know that this love for us found its fulfillment in victory over death. This message could have been denied if God had not forewarned these Magi not to return to Herod, but return to their land by a different way. The Magi were a vital part of God's proclamation of the good news of the incarnation. They would set the path what Jesus would travel in ministering not only to the Jews, but to the world of the Gentiles. This would also be heeded by Paul's ministry, which extended the chosen people of God to all mankind. The message of Epiphany has been the driving force of Christianity throughout the ages, for it is the message of mission to all. It is the drive to seek out the meaning of life through the good news of the incarnation, and then to proclaim this to the world in which we live. Being so named, this, our fellowship of believers, this, our church, should be the living example of our name, Epiphany. Let us shine with the light of God's love so that others may be led to experience the epiphany of the Christ child in their lives. And you know, to so many, this church, Epiphany, has done just that. Has done just that in sharing God's love. This is what we must continue and commit ourselves to continue on this Epiphany Sunday.